Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This week's program is a continuation of a program I did a couple weeks ago entitled The False Religion of Wokeism, which is all about explaining the current ideology of leftism, the support for LGBTQ behavior, that gender is fluid, that racism is behind all social ills, that Western values are oppressive, that the answer is socialism and big government and forced equality of outcomes. This is more than just simply politics. This is a religion. Like Marxism is a secular religion and became the state religion of Russia and China and North Korea and many African and Eastern European countries, wokeism has its scriptures, it has its doctrine, it has its prophets, its anthropology, its soteriology, its eschatology, which are all the polar opposites of Christianity. If Christianity teaches man is basically evil, humanism, wokeism, teaches that man is basically good. If the Bible says that God is the source of truth, wokeism teaches that man is the source of truth. Wokeism is an attack on Christianity. It's everything the Bible teaches about false religion, while wokeism calls Christianity false religion. So we're in a culture war, but also in every sense, we are in a religious war. The title for today's program is Christianity versus Wokeism, Who Will Win? Now, of course, we know that Christ will win, but in the short term, how much will wokeism appear to win? In Russia, at the beginning of the 20th century, the people rejected Christianity and wokeism took over. It took over the institutions of government and education for 70 years before it collapsed. It was called Marxism, but it contained all the elements of current-day wokeism in America. In fact, Mark Levin is coming out with a book entitled American Marxism, which explains that what's happening in our country is the American form of Soviet 20th century Marxism. The political left in America is resurrecting all of the ideological elements of the Communist Manifesto. Well, will Marxist wokeism succeed in America like it did in the Soviet Union and China? Eventually, we know communism will collapse. But are we first going to have to go into the Dark Ages for 70 years, or maybe even more? And this raises many questions. How powerful is the left in America? How popular? How pervasive? Is there a strong enough conservative base in America to stop them? Will this result in a stalemate, a social division in America? Or is one side strong enough to defeat the other side? Will this be a civil war, the breaking up of one nation under God? Will the Christian community conquer kingdoms, as we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33? Or will we be the others in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36, who experience chains and imprisonment? And how does all of this fit into Bible prophecy? So there are many questions and much scripture to discuss. But first, just to get us thinking, let's begin with some stories about the pervasiveness of wokeism. First story. Virginia teacher placed on leave after speech disputing biological boy can be a girl and vice versa. Quote, an elementary school physical education teacher in Virginia was placed on leave after an explosive speech in which he told his school board he wouldn't affirm that a biological boy can be a girl and vice versa. My name is Tanner Cross, and I'm speaking out of love for those who are suffering from gender dysphoria, Cross told the board. He then went on to discuss the recent 60 Minutes special about the issue. And a couple of weeks ago, 60 Minutes interviewed over 30 young people who transitioned, but they felt they were led astray because of a lack of pushback or how easy it was to make changes to their bodies. Now they're detransitioning. And of course, the LGBT community was outraged by this report from 60 Minutes. But it's really telling that 60 Minutes ran that piece because it shows that the pushback on gender bending is having an effect. Well, this teacher in Virginia went on to say, "I love all of my students, but I will never lie to them regarding the consequences. I'm a teacher, but I serve God first, and I will not affirm that a biological boy can be a girl and vice versa because it's against my religion. It is lying to a child, it is abuse to a child, and it's sinning against our God." Well, that school teacher was put on administrative leave, and he will be fired. Because the policy of the Department of Education in Virginia, passed by the legislators, is for teachers to affirm transgender students and their pronouns. Homosexual lobby groups get legislators to pass these rulings, but now they're seeing the expected results when it's implemented. Not all teachers are going to submit to this movement to erase gender. The pushback has started. It's late in coming, but better late than never. But still, it's really disheartening that in our culture, this teacher can be fired for refusing to call a boy a girl. In the words of Orwell, "In the time of universal deceit, telling the truth is an act of treason." In the better words of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 15, "Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey." You get fired. And that's a sign that the culture is sick. Well, just in the previous generation, a teacher would be fired for saying that a boy can be a girl. And rightfully so. Remember, we're not against cancel culture. A healthy society should be morally offended by pedophiles and rapists and drag queens. The culture of Sodom should be canceled. Righteousness is not a libertarian equality between good and evil. Another story. The newspaper USA Today has changed the phrase "boys and girls sports" to "transgenders in girls sports," because to use the term "boy" would be offensive to the transgender community. The term "boy" is apparently hurtful language because these boys do not want to consider themselves boys. In fact, they're also offended by the term "transgenders" because they want to be called girls. But here's a major American newspaper with educated writers and administrators agreeing with the ideology of transgenderism. So this ideology is thoroughly ensconced in the media, in Hollywood, in business, in universities, in government. Here's another story. Fox News: teacher unions and education officials push woke leftist policies in schools across the United States. And the story gives a number of examples, but the main example is President Biden's new education secretary, Miguel Cardona, who wrote back in 2019, "We need teachers behind this wave of our curriculum becoming more woke," which of course includes the teaching of critical race theory, transgenderism, socialism, the ending of male-centric language. What a difference between this new Secretary of Education and the Christian Secretary of Education under Trump, Betsy DeVos. Here's a story. Professor Glenn Bracey at Villanova, it was caught on video, telling faculty that they need to push critical race theory to build the church of Marxism. And in the video, this professor goes on to oppose Christianity. He says, so the core question for critical race theory is one of releasing people of color, especially black people, from the oppressive systems that deny us access to our species being. Marxism, critical race theory Marxism, is fundamentally a spiritual concern, unquote. So it is a religion. And if you investigate what these woke leftists are all about, it's not as subtle as you might think. They are full-fledged atheistic, humanistic communists. They believe in the whole system. And wokeism is the religion of homosexuals and abortionists. So I could share hundreds of articles concerning the onslaught of wokeism in our culture, but now let's talk about the pushback. Over the last few months, I have noticed, and you probably also have noticed, that there have been hundreds of anti-woke news pieces on Fox News, both in editorials and real stories concerning citizen pushback. And this may be because Fox is trying to win back all of the conservative audience they lost to OAN and Newsmax during the election. But nevertheless, the conservative audience is there. In the same county in Virginia that fired that teacher who refused to call boys girls, a Virginia parent group launches a political action committee to unseat school board members who are pushing critical race theory. And they're trying to do what was done in Southlake, Texas, where the parents unseated all of the woke school board members. Here's another article about the same school district in Virginia. Another Virginia teacher says critical race theory has damaged community as frustrated parents demand change. Loudoun County has been entrenched in a month-long battle over school reopening and equity training. Quote, an advanced placement government teacher in Loudoun County, Virginia, is speaking out about what she calls Marxist ideas that have prompted intense infighting among county residents. We're told that we're living in a country that is suffering from systemic racism, and I think that the whole notion has done nothing but damage our community and our school since they began pushing equity. She added that teachers were told to disrupt and dismantle this systemic racism, and I can tell you one thing for sure, it has been disruptive because there are parents who disagree with this ideology, there are teachers who disagree with it, and students who disagree with it. It is harmful. So people are not taking wokeism sitting down. Americans are rising up. Here's a news story. The state of Tennessee bans teaching critical race theory in schools. Governor says students should learn the exceptionalism of our nation, not things that inherently divide people. Here's a news story. Critical race theory and 1619 Project banned on the spot in Cherokee County, Georgia. News story. May 22nd, the Texas State Senate passes bill that prohibits schools from mandating the teaching of critical race theory in classrooms. Here's another news story. Congressman Crenshaw and Senator Tom Cotton launch a whistleblower website for members of the armed forces to voice opposition to woke ideology being pushed in the military. Enough is enough. We won't let our military fall to woke ideology, Crenshaw, a former Navy SEAL, said in a Friday tweet. We have launched a whistleblower webpage where you can submit your story. Your complaint will be legally protected and go to my office. And here's a NBC news story. Republicans are crusading against woke. Quote, Republicans looking to dent President Joe Biden and win back Congress next year in part by rousing a voting base animated by cultural war issues, having increasingly settled on a single word to describe what it is they're standing against. Woke. In this story, support for the LGBT critical race theory group Black Lives Matter has absolutely plummeted since last summer, despite the media's best efforts to prop up support. And this is all based on the New York Times article showing graphs. Support for BLM went from 30% of the public down into the single digits and even into the negative range among Hispanics. Now, the left is not happy with all of this pushback, and the reaction that the left is having is also being reported, which could be a whole nother program, how wokeism is trying to defend itself. But this story, angry woke parents and teachers are trying to silence critics of critical race theory. And this story, Democrat strategist James Carville realizes wokeness is a problem for the Democrats. But they're scared to call wokeness a problem because they're afraid they will be canceled by their own radical Democrat supporters. Another article, nightmares about wokeness. Democrats growing increasingly nervous about woke culture. So, is this a reason to celebrate victory over the left? Or is this pushback too little too late? Hey, I'm a conservative. I tend to be pessimistic in the short term. Yes, value voters are waking up, but without the support of major social institutions like the media, universities, the government, will we succeed? Now, speaking only in human terms here, and in terms of short term, I've said many times before, and I'm going to say it again, there's plenty of sin in America 150 years ago. There was prostitution. There was theft. There was gambling. There was homosexuality. The only difference was that the leaders in society, in government, and in education, had a Christian worldview and held to Christian law. And therefore, they were opposed to the corruption. But today, our social leaders are part of the pagan lawless. The problem is that evil has taken over the leadership. When the world enters the apocalypse and embraces the globalist, godless agenda of the Antichrist, there will be resistance in the grassroots. But the kings of the earth, the elite, the ruling class, the rich, who control the institutions, they give their power and their authority to the beast. Revelation chapter 17, verse 13. Yes, the Bible does say that the world will worship the Antichrist, Revelation 13, 8. But then it qualifies that by saying that is those whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There will be a minority resistance. And so we see the persecution of Christians in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, and in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. There will always be a pushback against Satan's agenda as long as God's people are in the world. But again, the question, will we win this current battle? Like at other times in church history. You know, we know that the Bible foretells that this age, this church age, will end with a great outbreak of evil that takes over the world. But we might not be at the end yet. Righteousness might win. We might have a reprieve. Just like America rose up in the 20th century against progressivism, against Marxism, and communism and Nazism, because the Christian base in America was strong. Just consider again the strength of conservatism in America, despite all of the leftism. The conservative movement in America is huge. We have media outlets. We have great spokespersons. You know, just think about all of the Christian conservative statesmen like Ted Cruz and Tom Cotton and Crenshaw and Marco Rubio and Pompeo and Pence and Rand Paul. And there are 53 members of the House Freedom Caucus. And then think of all of the Christians working to fix and expose election fraud. Think of all of the conservative media outlets, Grabian, PJ Media, Town Hall, Breitbart, Daily Wire, OAN, Epic Times, The Gateway Pundit, Newsmax, even Fox. And the list of websites and pundits goes on and on. I mean, conservatives in Europe only wish they had what we have in America. Now, all this is not overtly Christian, but much is. And it seems to be a whole lot better than Ezekiel's situation in 500 BC. Ezekiel 22:30, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I wouldn't destroy it, but I found no one. Or Jeremiah's situation, where God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 5, roam to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and look now and take note and seek in her open square if you can find a man, if there is one who does justice, who seeks truth, then I will pardon her. What we see happening in America can be illustrated by the analogy of a disease or an infection. In fact, the Bible often uses physical disease, dirt, as a way to illustrate the unseen reality of sin. In fact, I did a program about this last year. I think it was program 441, Coronavirus Part 4. The infection enters the body. And if the body is healthy enough, it fights off the infection virus. Now, the body might get a fever or other symptoms, just like a country can experience the effects of false ideology, wokeism, which is a virus. But eventually, the body, if it's healthy, can put down the disease until the next virus or the next false teaching comes along. Will we kill this virus? Are we healthy enough? Is victory guaranteed if Christians rise up and attack the problem? Well, yes, but not at the end of life. Not at the end of this age. You know, prophetically, the virus wins over the society in the very end, so that there may be the ultimate solution, the ultimate victory, the coming of Christ and the resurrection. I came across this interesting text. I never noticed this before. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. When Elisha became sick with the illness of which he was to die. Did Elisha do something wrong that this disease took his life? No. It was time for his exodus from this world. There came a point where there would be no revival, no healing, but the infection would kill the sinful flesh, the body, so that Elisha would go home to be with the Lord in glory. Same holds true for the whole church in the world. Before the coming of the Lord, the resurrection of the saints. There seems to be a parallel between human history and the life of the individual Christian. Anyway, now we're trying to fight off this disease. And the godly resistance is having an effect on the disease. Spiritually speaking, our white blood cells are working to surround and kill the cells that are infected with this false ideology. And we're not working by our own power, but by the power of God's truth. That's the medicine. I've been reading Ron Dreyer's book, Live Not by Lies. And in it, he has a chapter about having the courage to speak the truth. When the culture wants to silence you, the only way we win is by speaking the truth. And this is why the left is literally trying to silence conservative voices. Because any stand for the truth overturns the entire false system that the left wants to prop up. That teacher in Virginia who stood up against the school board completely exposed and castrated the leftist agenda. And to quote him again, "I love my students, but I will never lie to them. Regardless of the consequences, I am a teacher, but I serve God first. And I will not affirm that a biological boy can be a girl and vice versa because it's against my religion. It's lying. It's abuse to a child, and it's a sin against our God." One person standing up saying that the emperor has no clothing ruins everything for the left. In his book, Dreyer shares the classic illustration used by Havel, the Czech writer who eventually became the president of post-communist Czechoslovakia. He told the story of the grocer who puts a sign in his window, "Workers of the World Unite." He doesn't believe in it, but he conforms to the communists to maintain his business. Quote, "Let us now imagine that one day, something in our grocer snaps. He stops putting up the slogans merely to ingratiate himself. He stops voting in elections he knows are a farce. He begins to say what he really thinks at political meetings. And he even finds to strengthen himself to express solidarity with those with whom his conscience commands him to support. In this revolution, the grocer steps out of living within the lie. He rejects the ritual and breaks the rules of the game. He discovers once more his suppressed identity and dignity. He gives his freedom a concrete significance. His revolt is an attempt to live within the truth. This costs him. He loses his shop. He won't be able to travel. Maybe his children won't be able to go to college. The community persecutes him. Not necessarily because they oppose his stance, but because they know that this is what they have to do to keep the authorities off of their back. But by breaking the rules of the game, he has disrupted the game as such. He has exposed it as a mere game. He has shattered the world of appearances, the fundamental pillars of the system. He has upset the power structure by tearing apart what holds it together. He has demonstrated that living a lie is a lie. He has said that the emperor is naked. By his actions, the grocer has addressed the world. He has enabled everyone to peer behind the curtain. He has shown everyone that it is possible to live within the truth. Living within the lie can constitute the system only if it's universal. The principle, the lie, must embrace and permeate everything. There are no terms whatsoever on which it can coexist with living with the truth. And therefore, everyone who steps out of line denies it in principle and threatens it in its entirety. What the grocer has done is a small act of rebellion that may act as a spark of revolution that saves liberty and humanity. Unquote. Evil is always ready to take over a nation, a community, a church, a family. It's only when people put God's truth first and speak up, being willing to pay the price, that evil's defeated. Remember, the communist Bolsheviks in Russia were less than 5% of the population. But the other 90% of the population abandoned God and put their personal comforts above truth. And for that, they paid a terrible price. 70 years of communism in the gulag. Another piece that has come across my desk this week is the testimony of Sophie Scholl. She was part of the White Rose anti-Nazi resistance movement in Germany at the University of Munich. At age 21, she was put to death by the Nazis in 1943. George Wittgenstein, one surviving member of the White Rose group, described what it was like to live in Germany under Hitler. The government, or rather the party, controlled everything. The news media, arms, police, the armed forces, the judiciary system, communications, travel, all levels of education, from kindergarten to universities, all cultural and religious institutions. Political indoctrination started at a very early age and continued by means of the Hitler Youth, with the ultimate goal of complete mind control. Children were exhorted in schools to denounce their own parents for derogatory remarks about Hitler or Nazi ideology. Well, Sophie Scholl wrote, "The real damage is done by those millions who want to survive. The honest men who just want to be left in peace, who don't want their little lives disturbed by anything bigger than themselves. Those with no sides and no cause, those who won't take measures of their own strength, for fear of antagonizing their own weakness, those who don't like to make waves or enemies, those for whom freedom, honor, truth are principles only in literature. If you don't make any noise, the boogeyman won't find you, but it's all an illusion, because they die too. Those people who roll up their spirits into tiny little balls so as to be safe. Safe from what? Life is always on the edge of death. Narrow streets lead to the same path as wide avenues, and a little candle burns itself out just like a flaming torch does." She also wrote, "I will cling to the rope God has thrown to me in Jesus Christ, even when my numb hands can feel it no longer." And her final words were, "How can we expect righteousness to prevail when there is hardly anyone willing to give himself up individually to a righteous cause?" You know, her statement about not making any noise so that the boogeyman won't find you reminds me of that movie, A Quiet Place, which is a great metaphor for the cancel culture. The earth is taken over by aliens who hunt by their sensitive hearing, not by sight. So the family has to stay quiet in the basement lest the aliens hear them. When anyone makes a sound, these aliens are as quick as lightning and they come from miles around to devour their prey. But in the end of the movie, the family discovers how to defeat the enemy. Their strength, sensitivity to sound, is also their weakness. They explode if exposed to loud sounds of a certain frequency. So do you catch the metaphor here? The very thing the left is attacking us on, speaking the truth, will also be their defeat. John Krasinski, the writer and director of that movie, has a sequel coming out in a few weeks. I'm going to put that on my to-do list. One more thing. While I was putting together this program, lo and behold, Ben Shapiro put out a video on PragerU on how to defeat cancel culture. And I won't play the whole thing for you. You can look it up. But the bottom line is Shapiro is explaining to recent graduates that they are now leaving the woke culture of the universities, but it's not over. They're now entering the new woke culture of corporate life. Today's business behemoths have also become the bastions of woke thought, terrified of discrimination lawsuits, and all the time, money, and bad PR. They bend to every woke dictate that blows through their HR departments. And corporations are spending millions on useless diversity compliance officers. So what do you do about it? Well, Shapiro gives some advice here. Corporations cater to their squeakiest customers. And there's a study in the Harvard Business Review that shows corporations that identify as apolitical or liberal get no blowback from consumers, but a corporation that identifies as conservative gets a 33% blowback. But that survey was done entirely with people who identify as Democrats. So these companies think that they're being on the right side of history, that they're getting the majority on their side by going with the religion of wokeism. Corporations are risk adverse, they're controversy adverse, and they are petrified of their own woke workers and they cater to them. We would say that they have a Proverbs 25:29 fear of man. Well, Shapiro goes on to explain that these corporations are petrified of the woke, even though apolitical and conservative staffers and employees may constitute the majority. Corporate heads are driven by fear of a vocal ideological minority, and so leftists have renormalized corporate culture, even though they are the minority. Shapiro then goes on to cite a book, Skin in the Game, by Nassim Nicholas Taleb, to illustrate there's one daughter in the family who will only eat vegan. The mother now has a choice. Make two different sets of meals or cook vegan for everyone. The one inflexible daughter dominates the family unless the other family members become just as inflexible and vocal against vegan. The moral of the story? What is normal or what is normalized comes by the most vocal dominant minority group. All it takes is a tipping point of a certain inflexible portion of the population demanding change from a less than motivated majority. And it usually only takes about 20%. So here is Shapiro's advice. Find a group of like-minded conservative employees, make demands that a majority of employees agree with, be inflexible, be loud, band together to resist the intrusion of the radical left. You can lead the pushback. It is 23-year-old woke staffers who are forcing these corporations to the left, and it's going to take 23-year-old non-left staffers to move them back. Well, that all sounds good, but what's missing? How does this fall short of the biblical gospel solution? Well, it's an emphasis on solving the problem through a method, not by changing hearts. If you don't change hearts, all of the methods will be in vain. What if there are no 23-year-old conservative staffers? Shapiro's analysis assumes that there is this huge conservative majority in America that's just unwilling to speak up, but that may not be so. The quiet majority may be tacitly in league with the left. I just want us to see in this how people are trying to find solutions without the gospel, without the new birth. I've lived long enough to realize that apart from that, everything else is powerless. In the words of C.S. Lewis, we don't need new methods. We need new men. And that's what the new birth is all about. And everything I said about Havel the grocer and Sophie Scholl, salvation is not going to come to us merely by our will or determination to speak up. Without the power of the gospel changing lives, without the power of the Holy Spirit, our speaking up may only result in the strengthening of wokeism. We need the power of God. Here's the answer. In a piece in the Washington Times by Robert Knight called The War for the Soul of America, he ends with this statement. The good news, fueled by a huge hunger for authenticity amid moral chaos and fear of encroaching communism, a modern day revival may well be getting underway. People are giving Jesus a second look. Megapastor Jack Hibbs said his Southern California church recently baptized more than 1,000 new Christians. That's a lot of people who will be less inclined to blindly accept the false promises of soul-killing socialism. So thank you for including God and country as just one small part of your discipleship in the Word. Don't forget to share this program with a friend, leave a comment below, subscribe, stand up for the truth, fight the good fight of faith, fight against wokeism, stand up for Christ, and may Jesus Christ reign.